Yes. So you don't neglect to register. If you didn't do it, you should register, because we'll be going by the list we have of persons who registered.
Yes, sir.
And they are the ones who will get the tape, eventually a tape, either transcribed or the tape itself and transcription. But you have to be registered. We have to have your name and your address, your mailing address. So let me begin now where I left off, inshallah. I want to give you an introductory course, statement or course, really, for this session. And I have given it before, very recently, right in this masjid here, to some students. We started a class here. Imam Daniel Kareem asked me if I would told me what he had planned for Islamic studies here for children, and I suggested maybe an adult program would be good too. So he included the adult program in the program of this center, this Islamic center, and he was happy to know that I was willing to conduct the class. So I'm conducting a class once a week now on Thursdays. For those who are in the area, if you're interested, please see Imam Daniel Kareem and register for the class if you're interested. For those who are in the Harvey area here, or in the Chicago area, it doesn't matter. Yes. So this introductory course was focused on the Prophet as the recipient of divine revelation, the Word of God, the Quran, and the Quran itself. What is it? What is the Quran, firstly? And what is most important in the message to Muhammad from God, named the Quran, and has many other beautiful names in the Quran itself, in the text itself? What is the book? What is the main message there? And for us to live and practice, carry out. And when we look at Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, what is he to us as a picture, as a model for us to emulate, as a picture giving us a message? Because actually Muhammad's picture gives us a message too. There's a message in his picture. By that I mean, if you perceive him correctly, then with that perception of him comes the message. There's a message. So we want to know the Quran in its first and most important picture. And we want to know the Prophet Muhammad in his first and most important picture. So I will begin by saying this, that the most important thing for us to know about the Messenger of God is that he is the perfect human being. And he wasn't that after he got revelation. He was that when he was born. And he retained that until God called him. When God called him, he was already that. God didn't say, "Oh, Muhammad, stop committing sins. I want you to serve me." No. God said of him, "Surely we have seen you on the strongest foundation of character, khalqin azim." Azim means very strong. You know, when we bend over from standing, going into ruku with our hands upon our knees, we say Subhana Rabbikal Azim. Rabiel Avin. I'm speaking to you, and I'm changing the wording, which I shouldn't. I should be saying it as I should be quoting what we say, what I say, and you say. We say Subhana Rabiel Avin. Highly glorified is my Lord, the mightiest. Mightiest Avin. And God uses the same language to describe the character of Muhammad. Says, surely we have seen him. When God says we, he's speaking in his own name, like a king. When the king speaks, the king says we. Hardly ever he says I. Even when he's talking about himself, he says we. Why? Because when he speaks for everybody. He speaks for the angel God. When God speaks, he speaks for the angels. He speaks for his righteous servants. He speaks even for forces that you don't even know about. And he says we, because all those forces are in his power and in his organization. He's speaking for his power and his organization. So he says we. And kings speak like that even today. When you go to Saudi Arabia and sit in the audience of King Fahd, may God continue to give him good health and good life. And preserve him and the kingdom for Allah and his guidance and for the Muslim Ummah. Ameen. When you sit in his presence, you will not hardly ever hear him speak, say, I. He will always say, we. That's the way of the best of the leaders, the kings and rulers of the earth. That's the way of the best. So when God speaks to us in the language of the people, then God respects the way of the people and the order of the people that they have established that is dignified and deserving of respect. God respects it. See, we have to know God. God trusts us, human beings. God trusts us. With our own intelligence. He created us and didn't make us like animals or trees or stones. Just stay in one mold and can't come out of it. He made us with freedom of will and spirit and mind. We can come out of our mold of behavior. We can come out of the Muslim, the original mold of behavior that God created for us. And we have it when we are born. Everybody have it when we are born. According to the teachings of our Prophet, prayers and peace be on him. We are free to come out of that mold. We don't have to stay in the Muslim mold, in the Muslim nature. We are free to come out of that. So look how God trusts us with our own life. That's the first trust that we get from God. He trusts us with our own life. Then he gives leadership to a man, the Khalifa. And he trusts the Khalifa with leadership and responsibility. Not only for his own life, but for the environment, and for the direction he wants for mankind. That's a trust in God. That's why one of the attributes of God is the believer. Al-Mu'min. God's name is the believer. Al-Mu'min means a trustworthy one. That's what Al-Mu'min means, believer. And Islam also means trustworthy. When we call you a Mu'min, we are calling you not only a believer, but we're also calling you trustworthy. As a believer, you can't be a believer without also being trustworthy. Safe to live with. Isn't that wonderful? Safe to live with, see? If you're a believer, you're safe to live with. For other good people, you're safe to live with. So, please get as comfortable as you can. I like the saying in the Quran. God says, not that he wants difficulty for you, but he wants that you be purified. So even if you're sick and you want to take the fast, but you know you're sick, you know it's a little too much for you, you don't have to take it. If you're on Hajj and you get a little sick, you can get all kind of help. You can be taken to the hospital. You can stop your rituals. Be taken to the hospital. You can lay in the bed, get well first. And then after you're well, you can go back and complete the Hajj. Yeah. So Allah is a loving, merciful God. This is the God that is given to us in the New Testament. The God given to us in the Old Testament is a hard God, hard-faced God, very hard-faced God. It was necessary for the New Testament to come to interpret the other power of God. God has two powers. God has power to enforce His will, and God has also power to redeem through His mercy, His kindness, His love, His mercy. Well, that's enough for that. Now, getting back to the point. The point is that God is a merciful God, and that God gave revelation to Muhammad, and we want to understand both the revelation and the recipient, the one who received it. And we have to understand that correctly if we are to have the best spirit for Muslims and Muslims in a condition to go forward, not only in these times, that's requiring really the Muslim issue, that the issue for Muslims in the Quran, the main issue for Muslims in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad, be addressed right now, be addressed in these times. But not only in these times, in times before us, when the world did not know itself, when the world was still seeing itself in pieces. That before they discovered this part of the world, they saw the world itself in the pieces. They didn't see the whole world. See, these things are very important that I'm telling you. Ain't nothing I'm telling you unimportant or little important. Everything I'll be telling you is of big importance. I'm not going to even dwell on anything unless it's of big importance. Okay. It might be a little thing, but it's a big thing in our way, if I discuss it. Okay. Now, so it's important to see the Quran and Muhammad in their picture that's for the all people. In their picture that's for all people, not for Africans or Europeans or Asians separately. No, for all people. For all people. And it's important to see the message I'm speaking on, addressing now, the universality of Islam. You can put that heading, the universality, or Islam's universality. That's where I'd rather put it. Al-Islam's universality. That's what I'm addressing to you right now. And this is our introduction to our sessions, our course, Islam's universality. When I was in Saudi Arabia making Umrah and welcome in the audience of the Sheikh, the great Sheikh, I'm saying that this is my language, not theirs. The great Sheikh Abdullah Ubaid, who is presently and was then. Well, no, I think he was just coming into the office. I don't think he was officially in the position when we spoke, when we had an audience. He is the head of Rabita Al-Alam Al-Islamiyya. Imam Daniel Kareem helped me get that name out completely. I just said Rabita. And I was trying to find the English translation for it. And I couldn't get it because I needed those other two words. Rabita is the World Muslim League. Yes. Rabita means to tie. Like a tie. You go, if you're wearing a tie, the knot in your tie is Rabta. Rabta from Rabita. From Rabata. Rabita. Rabta. Okay. So it means to tie, to make a tie. And God tell us to make alliances, right? To make alliances. So Rabita al-Alam al-Islamiyya is really an alliance of many Muslim groups for the many Muslim nations and societies of the world. Well, some of them are not nations, they're just societies. They're just small communities under other governments. and rabita has connections with all of them, or seeks to have connections with all of them. So if any new one comes into existence, rabita will soon get in touch with them and have some kind of connection with them. So rabita has connections with our group, this association, Muslim Society of America. Rabita, based in Mecca, has connections with this community through some of you imams, some of you hardworking believers, but through your imam, through myself. I'm a member of the Supreme Council in Mecca, and that means I represent some of the masajids, some of the masjids in the world. Here in America, you represent you, and I also am an associate of and Muslim brother and friend to the World Muslim League, Rabita. So they have my name, they send me correspondence, they inform me of things that they think I should be informed of. We have relationship, so we have rabta. We have a tie with them. And God says, and make allegiance. Rabitu, that's the order. God says, Rabitu, form alliances. All right? Okay, so much for that. Getting back to the topic, the universality. Islam's universality. The reason why we say Al-Islam, because that's what God says in the Quran. Al-Islam. God never says Islam when he's speaking about the religion for the people, for all of us, that he gave us. When he's speaking of the religion that he gave us, he says Al-Islam all the time in the Quran. But in the Quran, we also find the expression Islamukum, your Islam. So he knows that individuals also have their Islam. But very seldom will you find that word, that expression in the Quran. Idolatrous is there more than two or three times. We'll count them sometimes. Yes. So the universality, Islam's picture, most important picture, is universality is its most important picture. God says, this day I have perfected for you your religion and have completed my favor on you and have chosen for you Islam. But he says El, he puts the El there. El Islam as religion. As religion. So that means that God showed mankind his mercy. God had been aware of mankind's struggle, like he's aware of everything from the time that struggle began in any lonesome heart anywhere in creation. Somewhere the struggle to find God and find his way for our life began, and God was aware of it before it got started. He was aware of it when it was started. He was aware of it all the time during his history, as it spread from person to person, and as it came into existence. Anywhere in creation, God was aware of it before and at the time it came into existence, and he was caring about his human beings all the time, and he was waiting to see how will they develop themselves, and at the any turn in their struggle that was to require him to come into it, because it's too much for his creatures. He came into it with prophets and warners and messengers, etc. He came into it, and that's his way with his human beings, with his human creatures. So God has always been aware of our struggle, and God refers to that struggle. He says, Islamukum, yo, Islam. We were always Muslims, because God created us Muslim. Every baby is born a Muslim, according to Quran and Muhammad. I won't waste a lot of time giving the quotes and evidences. I just tell you, it's according to Allah's revelation, the Quran, and Muhammad himself, the description of Muhammad. We have always been Muslims. We born Muslims. We just didn't know ourselves, as our teacher in darkness said to us. Yes, and we just didn't know ourselves. And we have always had Islam, our Islam, in our hearts and souls. That is to say, every person is by nature religious. He makes himself an atheist. He wasn't born that way. Every person by nature is religious, and every person wants their religion to be for the one who's responsible for their existence and the one they believe to be their rescuer in times of great trouble. Everybody wants to have that. And that's the true real effort in the Muslim nature for the real religion, Islam, al-Islam. And God saw the struggle. Now you see this picture beautifully, how beautiful it is. If you don't think about these things, you can't get the beauty out of it. Allah says, think. And surely thinking profits you. And the most profitable thinking is thinking on God. How did he do these things? What is this handiwork of his? Etc. That's the most profitable thinking. Or the most beneficial thinking. It gives, brings the most benefit according to God. Wa dhikrullah al-akbar. Yes. And the remembrance of God is the greatest. Praise be to Allah. Al-Islam, or Islam's universality. So God says to mankind, he didn't say Arabs, oh you Arabs. The expression is not to any race or nation. The expression is to human beings, all of us, to mankind. It says, this day I have perfected for you your religion and have completed my favor on you and have chosen for you. I have chosen for you. Look how personal God gets with us. Yes, look how personal this great creator that we can't even completely perceive, can't even see him completely or know him completely. So great, too much for our nature and our intelligence. Too big for it. We only can get him in a certain amount. So big, eternal, existing always, brought everything into existence for us, not for him. He needs nothing of what he brought into existence. He didn't bring anything in existence to help him, to support him. No, nothing. He brought everything into existence for human beings. For human beings. And that's addressing the universality too, because human beings, that says, if he created all this for human beings, then that says that the world is, the whole universe is for human beings. And Allah says, سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that he has made for your benefit, for your use, to come into your service as utility for you, all that is in the skies and all that is in the earth. That's what Allah said. And he said, I do not accept or receive, or in another way, your sacrifices of blood does not reach me. Your sacrifice of blood does not reach me. Only your taqwa. Only your righteousness. Your sacrifice of blood does not reach me. Well, we don't sacrifice blood, Brother Imam. Yes, we do. When you slaughter the animal on Hajj, you're sacrificing blood. You're sacrificing the blood of the animal. and you're not supposed to eat it. That animal is to be dhabiha. That means you're supposed to have killed it properly so the blood has gone out of it. And when you peel it properly, you can wash it in the sink. I've done it, and you've done it. And you don't hardly see any blood. Maybe the water be a little pink. And then after a while, no color in the water at all. No color in the water at all. Dhabiha. Yes. Dhabiha. Yes. God says, your blood does not reach me. Your sacrifice of blood does not reach me. This is addressing something very, very extremely important. I'm not going to even tell you what it is. I hope some of you find it. What it is. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't know. Maybe there's a good Jew or a good Christian sitting out there on the floor. A lot of people disguise themselves to come here with me and hear me, you know? Yeah. So if you are, I'm not going to make you uncomfortable, giving you our perception of your sacred ideas or beliefs. God says, and the blood does not reach him, only your taqwa, only your righteousness. And he says, I do not require that you feed me. Again, a reference to something extremely important. I do not require that you feed me. And his attribute is as summit. And it's given this description that makes him not one to be fed, and that makes him not one that wants to receive some help from you, is given all in one surah of the Quran called Surah Al-Ikhlas, and also is called the Surah of the Unity. The unity. And in this surah, let us listen to it now. Universality, that's what we're addressing. Al-Islam's universality. And universality means that it is here mainly for all human beings and to serve their needs and to guide them into the best possible life for them. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And that's what universality is. In all of its aspects, the life in all of its important and true aspects or features. Allah wants to complete it, a whole life for us. He complete the religion for us so that our life will be completed. He doesn't want us with a half life, with the life that is not complete. He wants us with the whole life. That's why Muhammad is the whole man. He's the whole man that Allah wanted on this earth. The whole man. And by being the whole man, he's the perfect man. Don't think it's the perfect means, oh, he does not get a cold. He got a cold and he died with a cold. Peace be upon our prophet. He got a cold and died with a cold. Okay? So that's not the kind of perfection he's talking about. He doesn't make a mistake. He's perfect. No, he did make mistakes. And God tells us he made a mistake. That's not his perfection. Although he seldom made mistakes. His perfection is that he was in the complete human image that God wants for all of us. He wasn't the only one now. Don't think that Muhammad the prophet was the only one that was born and kept his true nature and complete nature that God created him with as a baby. It's given to you as a baby. Don't think he was the only one that lived to keep it. There were others. Abraham was one of them. Abraham never worshipped idols. And God didn't have to tell him not to do it. He did it on his own. He didn't follow his daddy. And there were many others. But here's another one born like that. He wants to be the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets. Now, it's important to understand him too, the universality, Muhammad's universality. It doesn't mean, when it says he's the last prophet, it doesn't mean that he's the last one that will warn somebody. It doesn't mean he's the last one that will give a warning. Now, if you fight me, you won't get the benefit. If your thoughts of fighting, opposing, or criticizing, you're so critical, you're looking for fault in me, you will not get the benefit, and I'm sorry for you. Because the benefit is tremendous. Yes. God has opened our eyes. Black man in America, God has opened our eyes. And what he has shown us is tremendous. And God knows that I'm not looking for any attention to myself. I want nothing for myself. Absolutely nothing. I want everything for God and for you. God knows that. God knows that if you don't. Now, what was I saying there? Yes, thank you. Why should I strain to remember when you can remember? I got so many things on my mind now that I should be doing right now. But I have to do things according to their importance. And the important thing for me today and this is you. That's you in these sessions. Us. So believe me, I get great benefits from these sessions too. Any good qualified teacher will tell you they have learned a lot from their teaching practice. Yes. Yes. So I don't think that Allah will let a teacher teach and not get some benefit too. Praise be to Allah. Yes, okay. So when we think, this is very important, extremely important. You're supposed to be a special group here. I invited students of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I didn't invite anyone that's criticizing me and following somebody else and looking to see if I'm agreeing with that person you're following. I didn't invite you. So if you're here, you're here without an invitation, okay? And I don't care who you are. Make me no difference. You can be the biggest imam in our community. If you're not of the description of a student of mine and you feel yourself, you came here as my student, thinking that you are my student, and you're sitting here now listening to me as your teacher and not somebody else over me. Oh, Muhammad is over you. The Prophet is over you. Yes, he is. But he has to be now represented by us. He's gone. Praise be to Allah. Yeah. So we have to help those who know less. We have to help them know more about God's word and about God's messenger. God's messenger, Muhammad the last, the seal of the prophets. All right. So this is what I'm comfortable with. So I want you to know what I'm comfortable with. And I'm ignoring those who are interrupting and disrupting. Sending bad vibrations through the atmosphere, into this atmosphere. I'm ignoring you. That's the last time I'll address you. Okay. Here. Yes. So, the Prophet Muhammad, I am clear. Okay. I am clear. Oh, this man is something. He must be, this some must be saying that, and all. This man is more than just an imam. No, I'm just an imam. In fact, I'm less than an imam. I'm just a human being trying to obey my Lord. That's what I am. And how come I seem to be to you who love me bigger than imams and bigger than this and bigger than that? It's because I'm clear. Clear in my intentions and also clear in my heart. Therefore, my expressions became clear. Took time. Over the years, I was struggling. But now, my expressions are clear. And I thank God I can tell anyone that I speak and can speak clearly. So don't tell us you don't understand. The problem is yours. Not with the expressions. You have to interpret them after you leave. You have to interpret them for your friend. You didn't see, brother. You just didn't see. Our sister. The expression was clear. You didn't need to do anything but give it just as I gave it. That's the best way to give it. Don't try to change it for somebody and say, well, this is what he meant. No, I meant what I said. And it was clear. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should say this in our hearts if we don't speak it aloud. Prayers and peace be upon him, because Allah tells us to do that. The way to salute him. Allah told us the way to salute him. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Allah, the God himself, in the Quran, tells us how to salute Muhammad the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him. He, when we know him as the last prophet, it doesn't mean that he's the last prophet, because the prophet means, the word prophet means warner. Mm-hmm. It means warner. It comes from a word meaning to give news, but that news is a warning. It's a news that carries a warning with it. A warning with it. So Allah doesn't speak of his servant, Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him, that many times as a prophet, but he speaks to him so just constantly, over and over again, repeatedly, as his messenger. As his messenger. Now, the last of the prophets is to be understood, because this is the universality of Muhammad the prophet. There were other prophets who were sent to local communities, not sent to all people. The Jesus Christ, peace be upon Christ Jesus, he is a sign of the last prophet. He's a sign of the last prophet, sign of many things. He's a sign of the Word of God, how the Word of God lives in the world and how it's treated in the world. He's a sign, firstly, I should say, of the Word of God and God's way, God's will, or God's Spirit. That's what he's a sign of, firstly. But being a sign of that and not being the real thing, except in his nature, but in his message and in his life, the way he lived it, the way he demonstrated himself. I like to use picture. The way he pictured himself or gave his picture to others. He is only a sign. Only a sign. Both he and his mother, may peace be upon both of them. Only signs. But in his nature, he was the real thing. In his own nature, he was the real thing. The real human being, the real person receiving this great knowledge and wisdom and everything, he was the real person. He's not just a sign. Also, he was a real person. Which it took me a long time to get. But I finally had to come to a conclusion based upon the evidences that I saw that Prophet Jesus, the Christ, peace be upon him, was a sign, yes, but he was also a reality. He was also a real person who lived among the people and who did these wonderful things and who presented himself in such a wonderful and beautiful picture as a sign of how the Word of God should be seen and how it should live in the world with people and how it should be treated. His suffering tells us you shouldn't treat the Word of God like that. It's terrible the way you've treated the Word of God. That's what his suffering tells us. Yes. And it tells us that the human being that is bearing this message to give you this sign is a very special human being. Because he does not even exist for himself. He's not existing for himself. Oh, that's you, Brother Imam. Please don't. I heard you thinking. He said he does not do this for himself. That's true. Many others didn't. I'm not Christ Jesus. Yes. So anyway, he then not doing this for himself. He puts himself out of the picture. He doesn't want anybody to see him. He's out of the picture. The human person. And he's only showing you the person who is personifying the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, this religion is so wonderful. I wish everybody could see religion in its true beauty and greatness. All of us humans will be religious. Christians or Jews or Muslims, all of us will be religious. There's no better life than the religious life. It's so great to when you're in it really as you should be, you are in heaven on earth. Yes, you are. You're in heaven on earth. And in Islam, you know, we believe that we come into a dimension or a measure of heaven while we live. And if we understand the message of gospel, the gospel says the same thing. How does it say it? Did I mention that we'll be talking about scripture? I don't want you to be irritated. See, this is Ramadan, and why is he talking about the Bible? Why is he talking about Christianity? I think I mentioned that we'll be talking about the scripture. Al-Islam's universality, Muhammad the Prophet's universality. But from scripture, we're not just talking on our own. We don't perceive any of this correctly or start to perceive it correctly until we start to look for it in the context of revealed script, revealed revelation, a revealed script or revelation. All right. Yes, where was I? Tell me. The main. What was the main? Yes, but that was only in the connection with the main thought. Yes. Thank you. Prophet Muhammad as the last prophet. Thank you. Prophet Muhammad as the last prophet. So when we see him as the last prophet, we're not to see him as the person who got the last warning. God is going to be warning human beings forever, as long as we're human beings on this earth. And he will warn those that will never be known as warners. Some of you are warners. Yes, you are. Some of you are warners. I'm a warner. But I'm not a prophet in that sense. Therefore, we can't be called prophets. So how this warner, this particular warner, that is the seal of the warners or the prophets, and the last of them, how is he that? And we are not that. But we all can be warners. God can inspire all of us to be warners. Any of us, pardon me, to be a warner. Okay. And that continues. That's not going to stop. God is not going to stop doing that. God will be warning us through women, through men. God will be warning us. And through things. But things won't be called warners. Human beings are called the warners. So God will be warning us. They're not the last. So is it okay for us to call the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a prophet then, since he was a warner? No, it's not okay. Because in proper religion, you can't give that title to warners unless God has them in his plan for mankind. So these warners we call prophets in Scripture. Scripture means God gave this. And somebody wrote this. But God is the speaker. God was the giver of that body of knowledge. So if God is the giver of that body of knowledge, and those warners are in that body of knowledge in the Scripture, then they are the warners that God selected for a specific job, for a specific plan for mankind on earth. From the first one to the last. And to understand these warners that God selected that are called prophets, entitled to the words prophets, meaning that they are God's prophets. That's the difference. They are God's prophets. Now, God has given us the nature to be warners and to get help from Him. But are we God's prophets? No. We're God's creation. We're not God's prophets. We are our family's prophets. We are our neighborhood's prophets. Etc. We are our friend's prophets. But you can't use prophet. That's only for his servants. You have to say warn us. You have to use the literal language. The literal translation. Warn us. We are warners. All right. That's important to understand, and because this makes us uncomfortable. When we are hearing this said that there will be no more prophets. Some of us, not all of us, but it makes some of us uncomfortable until we understand it. We are uncomfortable because we know God is still warning. And God has people who are sensitive, very sensitive. And they are still able to pick up things that others can't. And warn people of things that they can't see or know. We still have human beings like that. So we who know that, we feel a little uncomfortable with this saying that there will be no more prophets. Since prophet means warn us. And we know that there are some warners. Seeing some, we know of some. There are some warners. Warning us about the way we live, warning us about the way we see our life in the future, warning us. The nature never changes. The will and law of God never changes. So we have to understand God's plan separate from our nature. Okay? Separate from our powers as human beings, or from our attributes as human beings. We have to understand God's plan. And understand that when God says, "This is my servant," and He is the last, the seal of the prophets, God is talking, addressing His plan. And His plan has always been, since man, the creation started. His plan is, even before creation, His plan, the plan for it was with God. So it was existing all the time with God. And then He caused it to exist, materialize. Okay, so He is saying, in my plan for mankind, to guide him, my plan for his guidance, all right? In my plan for his guidance, I had the first one, Adam. That's the first one. Adam, peace be upon Adam. I gave them Adam. And everyone following Adam, as a warner or as a prophet, I gave them those individuals. I selected them. And I gave them the mankind, the families or the nations or mankind, those persons, because I needed them in my plan for the life and guidance of mankind. That's the way you understand that. So if that is the case, at some point, God will have everything in His plan. Hence, at some point, we must have a last prophet. And that last one is the seal of the prophet. Now, if that ain't clear, something wrong with your mind. You need some extra help. And I hope you get it. But get it from some of these fine students that I got out here. You probably won't hear anything from me on this again. All right. Well, he's going to die. I don't see it. I don't know when it's going. When I see it, I'll let you know. Well, you all tighten up. I won't be with you long. Yes. All right. Praise be to Allah. So that's the way we understand the last prophet. And the seal of the prophet, seal of the prophet, when you bear the seal of someone, that means you are the authentic representative of that one. So Prophet Muhammad is the authentic representative of all the prophets before him. All of them. But what else does that say? That says that he is their hope. Every prophet's hope was to have Muhammad the Prophet. They couldn't be him, but they were struggling in their own nafs, self or soul, to be as much of Muhammad as they could be. So Muhammad sends a picture of the human being he wants in Adam. He sends a picture of the human being he wants in Noah. Each time he's giving you more of the features of that human being he wants. He finally sends you Muhammad the Prophet with all the features of the man, human man, he wants. And he's the seal of the prophets because their nature, their human nature was to fulfill that prescription that God had in their nature too. That's why God had Muhammad say, God tells Muhammad to say, said Muhammad, say to them, I'm the mortal human being just like you. Said kun, and a basharum mithlukum. I'm a mortal human being just like you. Now, what this has reference to? Because we're talking about tying a knot, right? Tying a knot. So, you know, when you say and, you can make and with a sign, different sign, but one is a tie. And you're connecting something that went before with something coming after. So the symbol of and for and in English is like that, right? And actually, it's pe marbuta. For those who understand what I'm saying, our symbol for and is te marbuta. Say, no, te marbuta, ma'am, has two dots over it. They put the dots after Muhammad. Right, right. Muhammad was gone when they put the two dots there. This is history. Am I right or wrong? So history says they put the dots after Muhammad, not before. The first Quran had no dots. So our English, our this Western world has a symbol for and it's just like that. It's te marbuta. Te marbuta. Marbuta means tied. Is that right? From Ramata. Marbuta. Te marbuta. Okay, so we are to make connections. And my advice to you is just don't study knowledge. Study knowledge and try to see its relevant connections. That's the way scientists study. That's the way the scientists study. And that's the way Prophet Muhammad taught us to study. Originally, his original first followers, he taught them to study with the object of trying to see relevant connections. When you study the Quran, you want to profit from it, you want to benefit from your studies the most, be aware that what went before has some connection with what's following it. It's all connected. Now, very, very, extremely important for us. When we, this is what I gave in my introductory course, as Imam Donnell Kareem witnessed. We have a symbol before us that we are to turn to for the unity of this Muslim community, our ummah. We have a sign or symbol we turn to. It's called Kaaba. It's also called Qibla. So you should write both these words because I'm going to give some explanation now. Kaaba, Qibla. We say as an expression of our position, our conviction, we say God, the God, not just God. Allah does not mean just God. Allah means the God. Allah means the only God. The God before and after in all times, Allah, the God, Allah. So we say, as the expression of our conviction, Firstly, in order of importance, we say Allahu Rabbi. The God is my Lord. Or Allah. You know it's better to say Allah. I'm not giving you, don't be down here saying, yes, the God. No. You say Allah. This is just an attempt to help you understand the name Allah. But the name Allah is bigger than just the God. Why? Because you have to know the God in His attributes. So we have to know Allah and His revealed attributes. Revealed attributes. So we learn Allah too. We come to know Allah better. The most help we can get to understand Allah better. Where's the most help? In the Quran. And next, after that, in Muhammad's life. In his life. As the messenger, a servant and messenger of God, but also as a human being too. Okay. Yes. Getting back. What I was talking about now. Oh, yes. Our commitment. No. Stay with it. We're talking about our most important statements or expressions of our commitment, our firm commitment. Firm commitment. And that firm comes from Quran too. And from Muhammad. That firm commitment. We say Allahu Rabbi. Just generally expressed, we say God is my Lord. God is my Lord. Now when we say my Lord, we have to know what my Lord means. What is Lord in Islam? What is Lord? We know what Lord is in Christianity. We know what Lord is in Western politics. Lord is a member of the cabinet for the British or English people, right? Yeah. They have the House of Lords and the House of Commons. Commons and Lords. So we know what it means in their politics. Do we know what it means in Christianity? What it means in Al-Islam? In Al-Islam, literally, taking it out of its meaning in Al-Islam, going back to its meaning before Islam, the word is taken from a word which simply means the work of a good parent, of the good parent in caring for its children. That's what it means. The work of a good parent in caring for its children. She or he. Mostly she, you know, is the mother, is the one that does that, if she's living and healthy to do that. All right. So let us look at the word. See, language, you have to be able to go to language and then study language in its connections. Everything important in connections. So don't forget to bring me back to Kaaba and Qibla as focus for connections. As the focus for connections. As very important focus for connections. Okay. So the mother, a true mother, a real mother, healthy mother, she cares about all of her children equally. No matter how bright one will be over the other, she will be awfully hurt if she thought that bright one was looking down on the other one. That would hurt her terribly. She might even give him a good whipping. Very good one. He might cry 4 months later when he think about that whipping he got. He might say, a good mother cares about all of her children. And that's how God wants us to see him. See how I have put into the mother my care for human beings. See how she cares about all of them. And no matter how much one excels another, when it comes to the right treatment and right respect, she brings it to them and enforces it. And enforces it. Isn't that wonderful? And this is just one feature of the good mother that I'm giving you. She has many good features. She will get up out of her bed at night, tired. Maybe she's sick too. But she will drag her body to the bedroom where the baby is who's sick, or the little boy or the little girl is sick, and she will check on them. If they need something, she'll give them something for temperature, cover them up, wrap them up, maybe change the bed for them if it's wet. That mother is something else, buddy. So that's our parent. That's our most important parent. If the mother wasn't the most important parent, Prophet Muhammad wouldn't have answered that young man who wanted to know. He said, I'm able to take care of my parents now, and both of them need me. Say, who should I give the most attention to? Muhammad, the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he said, your mother. He asked again. He wasn't pleased with this. He said, your mother. And some say he asked him a third time. And Prophet Muhammad said, your mother. And he asked even another fourth time, pardon me. And Papa said, and your father. And your father. Yes. And all that have universal, I start to say broad, that has universal ramifications. What the prophet said. Yes. All right. Because we have to understand this too. It is said by the prophet that everything in the Quran that we read has a direct reading and an implied or alluded to reading. It alludes to another reading. While saying something directly, it's alluding at the same time to another reading. So it actually has two readings. And we say scripture is read in its print, and it's also read in its interpretation, right? All scripture has interpretation, has its reading and also its interpretation. But what are we hearing from the imams, scholars, now? And I have heard it from them myself. I'm not talking about this group, although some of you are here because you heard it from them. The Quran is not to be interpreted. It is its own interpretation. So you're not to interpret it. It's its own interpretation. And Allah says that no one knows its hidden meanings or secrets or interpretation but God. Illa Allah. That's in the Quran. Yes. That's true. But when the angels answered God, they said, we have no knowledge except what you have given us. So really, God is the only knower then. That's what they were saying. And that's what the good saints and pious worshippers say in Islam today. When something hits them and they think on God, they say, God, or my Lord, you know. We know not. But is that all to that? They do know. But they mean that whatever we know is from God. And we are only using what God, the knower, shared with us. It's not our knowledge. So we have nothing but what you gave us. Right? Okay. So how are they going to say that no one knows the ta'wil except Allah, and say, period, without any explanation? Yes, period, but with some explanation. All right? Okay. Now, in the Quran, Allah says that He taught certain persons the ta'wil. That He gave certain persons, taught certain persons, the ta'wil. How ridiculous they are. Here's the book you're getting your information from, condemning you. Saying that God gave someone the ta'wil. Didn't He give Joseph the ta'wil? Yusuf, Prophet Yusuf, wasn't he given the ta'wil? If I'm correct, God says that He gave him the ta'wil. And he's not the only person that God gave the tablets. So don't say no one knows the hidden meanings. No one knows. Yes, God has given it to some, and he said he gave it to some creatures. All right? And Muhammad wouldn't have told us that scripture is by two descriptions. Scripture, revelation, is by two descriptions. You're to read it as it's given, and it's perfect and complete as it's given. Believe me. Perfect, complete as it's given. Don't think it's weak as it's given. No. It's most powerful as it's given. And the only way you can get that will, you have to get it from the language as it is given. You can't get it from any other book, no other text. You have to get it from the book as it is written. If you get that will. Okay? And not without God's help. You'll never get it without God's help. Yes. Yes. Bear with me. I have to collect my thoughts. Yes. Okay. All right. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I wish you learned, all of you, to say that. Sallallahu. Sallallahu.
Sallallahu.
Alayhi.
Alayhi.
Wa.
Wa.
Which means and. And in Arabic is rabta. Tied at the top. All right? Tied at the top. Rabta. And? Okay. Sallam.
Sallam.
Make those L's. Make those L's. Very good. Whenever you say L, even in English, you want to speak better, make sure your tongue touches the top of your mouth. Don't ever say an L without your tongue touching the top of your mouth firmly. If you touch it lightly, you have a weak L. If you touch it firmly, you have a strong L. The mic is picking this up. You're hearing this because the mic is picking it up. So you even hear me breathing on the tape that's played on the radio. Well, John gets it so clearly, you can hear me breathing. That's nothing but ordinary breath. Don't think there's some strange breath coming over the radio. It's nothing but ordinary breath. And I hope I brushed my teeth before I spoke or gave that talk. Might have been some bad breath coming with it. Okay. Now, and peace. Salam.
Salam.
And this is, it's not salam. It's salam. Shadda. That means God is saying, and salute him with enthusiasm, with spirit and force. Salam. Yes. Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
Salam. All right. Praise be to Allah. Believe me, in Ramadan, whatever you are able to do of good, in Ramadan you can do it like Superman. Your ability in Ramadan is like superhuman over what you have done in comparison to what you could do outside of Ramadan. God has blessed this month because so many millions of sincere, pure souls are obeying him in this month. So he loves this month more now than he did when he revealed the Quran in this month to Muhammad. He loves this month many more times than he did before, because so many pure souls are obeying him with their complete devotion, and only failing when they can't help themselves. He loves this month so much that He is more present with us in this month than He is with us in any other month. This month, the month of Ramadan. Yes. And on the night of power, oh boy, He is with us and He's given us the peak of His presence and inspiration. Is at the peak when we stand for the night of power. Now, it doesn't have to be on the 27th. If we stand on any odd night of that month, obeying Him through His messenger, we obeying Him, then we get His presence at its peak, and we get His spirit at its peak, and His guidance at its peak for us. Never will His guidance be stronger for you than in the month of Ramadan. And never will His guidance be stronger for you in the month of Ramadan than on the night when you stand in prayer, the night of power. And this is not spooky. This is real. Yes, now, where was I? I was on... I should be where you're waiting for me. That's where I should be. So just think, where are you waiting for me? Thank you. I got it. Thank you. That's where we are. Every Prophet Muhammad said everything in the Quran has an express meaning and implied meaning. Implied. That means this language is alluding to another reading. And is this in scripture? Yes, this is very major. Prophet Muhammad didn't tell us nothing. Didn't it say that he will not speak anything of his own? So whatever Prophet Muhammad said to us, it's in scripture before. So how is this in scripture before? Can you give me a break now for about 5 minutes? Thank you. I'll be right back. Every prayer is good. Okay. And they will be adjusting it. When they finish, it should be perfect. When they finish. So now it should be perfect. Are you all got, you finished, got it adjusted? Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Thank you. So thank you for your patience and waiting for me. I do have a slight health problem. It's not serious. It's serious for me only because it's Ramadan. I'll tell you what my problem is. The doctor prescribed for me as a prescription, and I asked him, and he did it because it's too much water. I said, I ain't no way I can drink all that water. So I said, is this what you're telling me I should do, or is this a prescription? And the doctor told me, he says, look at it. I said, well, it's on a prescription. It's a prescription. He said, yes. So he prescribed for me 3 liters of water a day within a 24-hour period of time. That's a lot of water. When it's not Ramadan, I very seldom drink 3 liters of water a day. I try, but it's just too much. You understand? To drink that much water a day, I'm the average person. I am an average person. To drink that much water a day, I have to just be at home. Or somewhere. Somewhere. You understand? Okay. So it's very difficult. Now, Ramadan makes it even much more difficult. So I'm without the amount of water that I should take. I'm way below the amount of water I take. My eyes are redding. My back is stiffening. I have arthritis in the back. Thank Allah, it's not the kind that deforms. I'm telling you this because you care about me. And I want you to be comfortable. I don't want you to think something is more serious than it is. Yes, so it makes the water fluids build up in that area, in the lower part of my back, builds up, and it gets tight and stiff back there because of the pressure of fluids. As long as I'm drinking enough water and getting my exercise, the fluids pass through. It just keeps flowing through. So I don't get this pain. So that's why it's necessary for me to take all that water every and within 24-hour period. And another thing, I did mention that I have to do exercises too. If I don't, I stiffen up. I get stiff. And right now, I'm very thirsty, and my body is drying. My mouth is I drink a lot of water before I come out here to try to get enough, but it's not enough. So my mouth has started to dry already a little bit, and I may have to take some water. I'm trying not to, but I might have to take some water. That means my fast is gone for that day. But I will not take anything but the water, whether my fast counts or not. Because I don't need anything but water. Why should I eat? So if I have to break my fast, I'll be only taking water. And if I suffer too much, I'm going to do it not for my sake, but in obedience to God. And it's not that I want hardship for you, but that you be purified. All right. Okay. So let's get back to where we were. Again, thank you for your patience. Love you too, our brother. We love you too. Hyssop? Oh, cod liver oil. Okay, I have another problem. I can't take much oil. I know about cod liver oil. My mother used to give it to us. And I know about it. Brother Waleed, who's working with us, you know him as a security brother. Brother Waleed, if you're here, would you stand? He's not here. Oh, yes, he's working. He's also very much needed. He's a produce man, and he knows the business. So he's at the job right now for us, our job, CPC office, working with our distributorship there. But he told me once, he said, Brother Imam, he said, I think cod liver oil could help you a lot. But I have an oil tolerance. I can't take too much oil. Yes, I have to avoid oil, fats and oil, even vegetable oil I have to avoid, all oil, fish oil, or any oil. I have to avoid intake of too much of it. So I perhaps can take a little quantity, a small quantity of oil, but not much.
What about honey? Can you tolerate honey or
pour
a cup of honey?
Sister? You're talking to a man who has to be careful with almost everything. All that tasty stuff I have to be careful with. Now, I also, they described me, one doctor described me as a type 2 diabetic. So I can't take a lot of sweets. And I controlled my intake of sweets, and I did exercises, routine exercises. I went back to a clinic. They examined me, and they found me without sugar. No sugar, blood pressure perfect, all vital signs perfect. But that was only after I stayed away from those things. Sugar, oil, salt. Just a little salt, not much salt. I don't take much salt. I can take a little salt because I sweat a lot. So I sweat out salt. I lose salt. So I can take a little salt. The normal amount of salt I can take, but I can't eat salt heavy either. It messes me up. I'll start having a blood pressure problem. Anyway, very delicate body right now. I have to be very careful. But since the sister have also recommended some cod liver oil, I'm going to ask the doctor, how much can I take? And as much as he permits me to take, I'll take. Now, sister, you say take it with a cup of hot water? What did you say take it with?
Okay, you're supposed to take it on empty stomach, like in the morning before.
Yes, ma'am. take it without anything?
Before
I eat anything, take the cod liver and take it without mixing it with anything. Norwegian. I know Norwegian. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Yes. Yeah, cod liver and casserole. You say the word, you just say the word, and I'm already tasting it. Smelling it too. The memory is so strong. The memory is so strong that when you say the word, right now I'm smelling castor oil around here. I do, I swear. That's the truth. I smell castor oil. And I know it's not here, but actually my nose believes it's smelling castor oil. Really? No joke. Now that's a strong impression. It's God Almighty. I almost start hating orange juice. Yeah, my mother put some in some orange juice once, a long time before I could drink orange juice again, on my own. Only when she tell me to drink it, you know, and she watching. All right, let us go back, let's get back to our lesson. We were on the Prophet Muhammad, his saying, prayers and peace be upon him, that every meaning or word in the Quran is given as an express word or meaning that is there. You're reading what God wants to say. When you're reading it as it is, you're reading what God wants to say. You don't have to change it for anything. Oh, I want to know what God's saying here. No, you are getting what God wants to say. You're getting what God said and what he wanted to say. But it has also an implied reading, an implied reference or reading, which means that it's alluding to. Alluding means that it's hinting. It has hints to something else. That when it's perceived, you have another reading. And the next reading will only give more light to the first reading. That's all. It's not a different reading or new reading. It's a brighter reading of the first reading. Okay? With more knowledge coming out. More light coming out. Okay. So that's what the Muhammad the Prophet said. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thank you. Very good, too. Very good pronunciation. Yes. Prayers and peace be on him. Yes. And now we go back to the caution that we got. No one knows its interpretation but God, but Allah, except Allah. We go back to that. Now, the Prophet wouldn't have told us that this script has an express reference and an implied one if he didn't want us to seek its implied message or reading. So those imams, they're afraid that the African American Muslim is going to, they know we've been freed. We've been made free thinkers by our master liberator. By three master liberators. And I'm not going to give you any of their names if you don't know them. Yes, we have been freed by three master liberators. And I'm included. I've been free too. I've been free too. By not two, one, not two, not two, but three. I have been free by three master liberators. Yes. And they know it. Believe me, they know it. And they're afraid that if our students keep studying, uninterfered with, unhampered, that eventually they're going to most likely excel them. So there's the elder brother wanting to sell the young brother into slavery. Wanting to drop him down to the bottom of a dry well. Not a well with water in it. Want to drop him to the bottom of a dry well. And if he's fortunate enough to get out, they want him put in prison. That's the reality. That is the reality. I'm not just picking that because it sounds good or it helps me a little bit. I'm picking that because it helps me perfectly. Because our situation is the exact situation that Joseph was in. No different exact situation. And if it's the exact situation and God is with us, we are going to get the exact help that he got. So what does that mean? We are going to get the tatweed. Because that was the help he got. And it brought him, Allahu Akbar. And it brought him right on up to the top, didn't it? The big Aziz put him over the storehouse. And his brothers had to come through him to get some rations, some provisions. And I believe we heard a warner, not a prophet. I believe we heard a warner saying that long time ago. That the elder brother was going to have to come to the younger brother for his provision. So don't believe them when they look at you. Brother, do you speak Arabic? Do you know Arabic? Brother, your imam is missing something that is very important. No one knows this interpretation illa Allah. And they come and try to put the spell on you, try to bluff you, stand firm. Yeah, so we know that the Quran has these two features. Is to be taken just as it's written, and you can only get the other reading from that reading just as it was given. That in that reading is the key for unlocking the mysteries. You don't get the key from somewhere else. The key is there in that reading for unlocking the mysteries and getting the ta'wil. All right? And it said in the chapter that's most repeated, the seventh oft repeated, double or dual verses. So if you double them, you got 14, right? And we know they only seven. So how they call 14? How do we get understand 14 when it says it's only seven? Because there's that other reading. And the most powerful key for unlocking the whole book is Al-Fatiha. Although all through the book you get keys. Say, with God are the keys. All the keys. In the kingdom. Okay? All the keys are with God. So there are many keys in the Quran for unlocking, getting the second reading. But the Quran is Al-Fatiha is the main key. And from Al-Fatiha you get the word miftah, which means the key. Al-Fatiha means the action of the key. Al-Fatiha. This chapter is doing the job of the key. It's Al-Fatih. Al-Fatih means the victor. The victor. Listen for you, right? Listen all. Al-Fatih means the victor. Al-Fatih means the one that has done what was challenging. The thing that was challenging the reader. So this Al-Fatih has done that. Now the chapter is not masculine, and that's why it is not called Al-Fatih. The chapter is feminine. Surah is feminine in Arabic. So you have to say Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha. The victor. The opening. That is doing the job with the key. Okay? So it's repeated so often because it is the key. It is the mistah. It is the key for unlocking the mysteries in the Quran. And the learned imams, especially those in Pakistan, they preach in their da'wah that the Quran is the essence. The Quran, Al-Fatiha, is the essence of the whole Quran. That means if you could condense or extract from the whole Quran its essence or its purity from beginning to end, the Quran would be a picture of that. Quran is that essence. Yes. Al-Fatiha, I'm sorry. Thank you. Al-Fatiha is that essence.